I gradually tilted away from accepting so-called sacred texts as dogma, and instead regarded them as possibly containing wisdom to be pondered. The idea of supernatural beings or miraculous events or life after death increasingly seemed at odds with nature as I understood it. In my teens, I broke with my childhood Christianity and went through a period apart from organized religion. Then in my 20s, I discovered Unitarian Universalism and have been a member for more than 50 years now in various congregations. What attracted me then and now is that UUs have no dogmatic theology, leaving me free to explore for myself. And that exploration continues even now. So far, I believe in something like the currently accepted physical cosmology. That is, the universe originated billions, not thousands, of years ago in something like the Big Bang, and then has continued to expand ever since, with conditions at any moment being descended from conditions of the previous moment. Living creatures are embedded in this cause and effect flow, with free will according to their own limited motives, generally being just everyday acts of living, with the notable exception of human beings. So secondly, I believe that humans are a special case, being markedly different from other nearby life forms. Recently, I have been considering the ancient Greek and Roman philosophers, since most of them rejected supernatural theologies as I do, and regarding nature as in effect God. In particular, the ideas of the Stoics resonated with me, including Zeno's notion that you just heard, that virtue consists in a will which is in agreement with nature. What does that mean? Their philosophy, like most others of that time, is not aimed at establishing universal rules of behavior. Instead, they point the way toward enabling the individual to live a satisfying life. The Stoics considered that living according to our nature is the way to do that. And the leading characteristics of human nature are, first, our ability to think and reason, and second, our ability to live and act in groups. Communication through language is intertwined with both. These characteristics have dramatically empowered our species. And an individual lacking in either, an individual who is, say, thoughtless or self-centered, is not living the most satisfying or valuable life that they might. Of course, this is a very simplified statement of a rich and extensive body of thought that I continue to study. But third and finally, I believe that humans, with our exceptional natures, have a dangerous power. Working together and using our ability to reason, we can do great things, but also we can do horrible things. And one of the most important roles of religion is to force us and enable us to look squarely at both the positive and negative aspects of our collective nature and steer ourselves toward an improving future. Thank you all, and back to you, Madison.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Elaine Morrison, and I use she, her pronouns. I believe that I do not have any strongly held religious convictions. My chosen religious affiliation as an adult has some roots in the religious history of my family. My father is Jewish. Both of his parents are Jewish, and they raised him with Hebrew school, a bar mitzvah, and a family culture with a strong Jewish identity that continues to this day. My mother is not Jewish. Her parents did not have a religious affiliation, so they raised her within the larger American Judeo-Christian culture. While both of these people may sound different on the surface, they have very similar values with regards to ethics, child rearing, marriage, and living a good life as a good person. After watching organized religion drive people apart instead of bringing them together, they went their own way. My parents taught me how to think, not what to think. I was never under pressure to believe anything in particular. Like many American teenagers, I examined many ideas surrounding faith. At this point in my life, learning about religion is more of an anthropological pursuit than a spiritual one. Where did this tradition originate? Why is this bit of scripture interpreted this way, or interpreted differently by another person, congregation, or denomination? I like new ideas, new perspectives, and new ways to think. For a long time, I did not believe that there was a place for me in organized religion. I'm technically not born Jewish, and definitely wasn't raised Jewish. For me, this is a cultural identity, not a religious one. I was never baptized or christened. Whenever I encounter communion as part of an event, I feel like I stick out and don't belong. I really just want to blend in and not be interesting. It makes me feel like I need to be explained. I've never felt qualified to be part of Jewish or Christian religious activities. I don't know the sacred texts, the ceremonies, or the reasons behind the rituals. Unitarian Universalism, and especially Reeve, are different. There are no formal or informal prerequisites for anyone who wants to join and participate. I've been encouraged to stretch myself and stretch my abilities. I'm encouraged to sing, and there are no auditions. I serve on the Board of Trustees. It has its own challenges, but overall, it's an amazing experience. I am learning to do hard things with the support of a wonderful community. I find a lot of meaning in learning, and especially in science. It is wonderful to believe that there is more to know, and that knowing those things can help us shape our lives and move them in our desired directions. At a very practical level, science has allowed me to survive as long as I have with type 1 diabetes. I spent 2 summers and a spring doing avian ecology research. I'm not sure that the data I collected changed the world, but the experiences changed me. I had a lot of time outdoors and a lot of quiet space to think. It is wonderful just to know things and create things without the pressure to produce results. At Reeve, we often say, in this space made sacred. We don't need to wait for the universe to give us a sacred space or a sacred moment. We are empowered to create our own sense of sacred and our own meaning without waiting for permission or approval. Likewise, we create our own spiritual moments. Wisconsin probably isn't on a lot of people's bucket list of beautiful places to see because of photos in National Geographic. The beauty of the changing seasons here is more subtle. The rhythm of our seasons and the cycle of the years provide their own comfort, ritual, and identity. Clearing off the car in winter is how I know I am alive. I'm so tough, I can survive that. Summer is precious because it is so short. Soon enough, the world goes cold and dark again. I believe we're all doing the best we can with what we have. Sometimes that looks amazing. Other days, even my best isn't very good. I'm learning to forgive myself for that. I believe perfectionism is a barrier that holds us back, not a standard that inspires greatness. I am introverted, but I also believe that community and relationships are important. I enjoy having a few, but very special relationships. My most important relationship with an individual is being married to Matt. We have chosen each other to share a path through life. We are 2 distinct people who complement, balance, and support each other always and everywhere. Our shared home is our refuge from a very big world. And Reeb is one of my most important community relationships. Even when I was new, I never felt like an outsider. I quickly learned that many folks are not born and raised UU, and that there's no birthright privilege associated with being UU. Instead, I had a lot of encouragement to find my spaces among the people, the institution, and the rhythms of the year. I believe that I am living a meaningful and spiritual life, even if it doesn't fit within an established framework. My own experiences and relationships mean so much to me because they are for me. Having my own space and my own mind has given me the ability to survive and thrive in a very large world. I'm here to enjoy that journey, however long that may be, and wherever it may go.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Our third and final speaker today is Mary Wichita.
Well, first I have to say, if I had had the brilliance to write what Elaine just wrote, that would be my talk. So, and my father's Jewish, but I didn't. But anyway, my name is Mary Wichita, and my pronouns are she and her. I'm a new member of REEB, but an off and on participant in UU for many years. I'm focusing on one part of what I believe. Those of you who know me understand that I really can't help myself. A lifelong commitment to social justice and progressive politics are in my DNA. Literally, I am descended on my mother's side from a rebel minister who was ousted from the Church of England, co-founded Concord, Massachusetts, sadly, though, on stolen lands, and was criticized by other members in the colony for putting too much stock in the value of good works. Fast forward to my parents, my dad of Jewish descent, and my mother from a long line of Presbyterian ministers and public servants. Both of my parents rejected organized religion and probably identified as atheists, though we never used that word. They brought me up to aspire to be open-minded and free of prejudice, and I still work daily to achieve these. I grew up in an environment steeped in democratic politics, good works, and classical music in Silver Spring, Maryland. As a teenager in the mid-50s, I was glued to the televised Army-McCarthy hearings, anti-communist hearings, hoping to catch a glimpse of my dad, who reported on them for the Washington Daily News. While in college, I had several conversations with my mom, and we're talking decades ago, who worked for Planned Parenthood, and she advocated birth control and even for couples to live together before they got married. Really. Clearly, I didn't have to rebel against my parents to wade into the world of progressive politics and social justice, though I did start pushing the edges in college and beyond. My parents would not have been on board with my waiting on tables at a black-owned bar in downtown Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, as an entree to civil rights organizing and totally against Wilson College rules. But they did go to bat for me when the college president warned a few of us with expulsion if we continued to lobby to get rid of daily chapel attendance. Yeah. College was really formative for me. In 1963, a small group of us at this Women's College of 400 formed a study group to figure out what was going on in the lead up to the war in Vietnam. And we affiliated with SDS and the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. I really felt good about those years and only regret that I didn't have the nerve to journey south with the Freedom Riders as one of my closest friends did. A salient moment in cementing of my conviction that ordinary people are sorely mistreated by the so-called justice system occurred on a Sunday morning of a Quaker-sponsored workshop, weekend workshop in the inner city of Philadelphia. We were told that we could witness court in session on Sunday morning for those who were picked up the night before for drunk and disorderly conduct. I had no idea what to expect, but even then I just wondered why in the world this was even an appropriate activity. The judge called in 8 to 10 men, the majority of whom were African American, and read their charges, and then turned to us and said, "Come on up, come look at these dregs of society," or something to that effect. I was blown away. And much to my shame, nearly everyone followed his command. But I couldn't, and I didn't. And I will remember to this for the rest of my life how important it was for me at that point to stand my ground. Reflecting on the pivotal moments in my life, they are always in community with other people. The 1963 March on Washington, the refusal with a handful of other teachers in the inner city of Cleveland, Ohio, to use paddles to discipline our middle school students, the many Vietnam War protests, journeying to northern Wisconsin to stand on the docks with the Ojibwe tribal members during the Walleye Wars, the AIDS ride from Minneapolis to Chicago well before my daughter came out as queer and my grandchild identified as trans, the two-time house bill in Guatemala, and subsequent civil rights and women's marches are all more examples. My parents cultivated in me a commitment to social justice, and throughout my adult life, I have surrounded myself with family and friends and in organizations which have continued to nurture and teach me. And James Reed is the most recent and extraordinarily important to me. I work to continue the legacy my parents left and pass it on to my children and grandchildren. And I believe I can, as long as I put relationships, community, and collective struggle at the forefront. Thank you.